Ooh. What's up, good people? It's time for another session of that verbal cardio, man. We back in Bills-ness. I like putting L's and stuff because life is full of L's sometimes, man. We be taking a lot of losses out here, man. That's why I throw L's in words that don't even have them. Bills-ness. Trills nips. You know what I'm saying? Because we take a lot of L's in life. Some huge, some little, some uppercase L's, some lowercase, some bold print. You know what I'm saying? Some 12 font, some 22 font. You know what I'm saying? Some 7 font. We take a lot of L's. And so knowing that, it's all about how we handle the L's. It's all about how we move past the L's, how we get through the L's. All right? The L. Ron Hubbards and the LL Cool J's and the L. Mariachis. And, you know, we take L's all the time, man. But how you handling it? How you going to carry your L? How you going to carry it? All right? That's what it's all about, trying to navigate through the L's in life. That's why it's an L in life, because, you know, it starts with the L. You're already losing. Soon as you're born, you're coming out butt-ass naked, no outfit. You're lost. And you're lost and confused because you in there like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what language y'all speak. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to do. I don't know why I'm getting my ass smacked. I don't know who this lady is holding me, but she seems familiar. I don't know who Pops is, but I kind of have a connection because I came out of his balls technically. I'm little, my skin is loose. It's like baggy and wet. My hair is matted down. Big confusion. Coming out, taking the air. Because you at the mercy of your parents. When you first born, you shit on yourself. You got to lay in that shit and piss until they come change you. You can't even do it yourself. You at the L right there. But it's a win if you got good parents. Because they going to handle that as soon as it happens. But it could be a potential L. And then we just navigate through all these losses, and man, how are you carrying it? We take L's, you know, we trying to find work. You can't get a job, that's an L. But then when you get a job, that's the win. You know what I mean? Or you get fired, that's an L. Or you get broken up with, that's an L. Or you try to holler at somebody, they're like, nah, I'm good, that's an L. Know what I mean? I'm in a profession where I take constant L's in this profession. This whole acting thing, this whole Hollywood shit, it's L City out here, man. It's the L train. For me, I'm just used to it now. At this point in the game, man, taking major L's. Even in life, man, I took the ultimate. I took the worst of the worst L's. We're losing Serene. I'm like, man, that's what we doing? That L right there is just paramount L. But it's all about navigating through that and, like, you know, still existing, still thriving, still moving forward, still laughing, still having a good time. Also, you know what I'm saying, taking in the hurt, you know, letting that process, taking it, laying down in it, taking the waves as they come. L. Ron Hubbards. And I'm taking the L on social media, too, when they be taking my page down and, you know, restricting my live access, all that good stuff. It's how you handling it. It's how you carrying it. Know what I'm talking about? You feel me? And I want y'all to join my Patreon, man. Don't have me taking this L in here. I don't want y'all taking, yo, join. Give me a W. Give me a W. Let me give a shout out to my patron saints. They in here deep. Deion C, Alana, Latoya, Larkin, Vinnie Hughes, Zakia, Tanisha Turner, Jamal B, Keisha Clark, QDB, Eric Payne, Alice, Sherry Tucker, Miss Man, Passionate for God, man, Dulce, AJ, you know what I'm talking about, you feel me? Overdrive Pixie, Cat James, Lace Willoughby, first of all, Willoughby, I love that. Love that name. Like Chatting with a Friend Reviews. What's that name? First of all, we got to change that name. We got to change that name. Shakara, Stony Face Entertainment, man. A Maxwell C. Brandon Preston. Dayo. Who else up in here, man? Yvonne. Vinny Hughes. It's Mel B. Courtney Black. Duchess 08, man. Coco Puff. Happy birthday to Trey. Trey, happy birthday, man. It's Leo season right now. Candy Cammy, Jesse Brown, Eshore Sachs, Jody Bray, Tanisha Turner, man. What's up, y'all? See the shout out? See the shout out you can get in the patron sainthood? You know what I'm saying? You see this IG Live? What's up, Jason? You see this IG Live? You see it? You can get in on this, man. Just join my Patreon. I want 15 new members right here, right now. Today. I want it. What's up, Ronnie Jordan? Ronnie Jordan, man. Janelle still never got the bucket hat, dog. She still never got it. Ronnie goddamn Jordan. It never happened. I'm talking about you saw me at Chocolate Sunday? I hope you laughed. Which show was it? Was it the early or the second one? Anyway, man, right off the bat. Dude that murdered the murderer of Sonya Massey, right? The murderer. We're gonna call him what he is. He gonna sit up here and say, I fear for my life when she said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Man, soft. You soft, bro. Big soft. That's some of the softest shit I've ever heard, man. Trash. Really, dog, you fear for your life because this little lady was like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Soft. That's what you go to? That's your immediate go-to? When somebody say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Do you even know what it means? You soft, bro. You too soft to have a badge. Big soft. Trash. I was scared for my life, man. You too soft for the game, man. If you're going to be soft, you can't be no cop. If you're going to be out here ultra scared, you can't be no cop. If you're going to be out here super bigoted, you can't be no cop. I know it's a culture for it. I know it's a culture for people like you that think like you, that act like you. That feels like a fraternity to people like you. And that's what a lot of people in law enforcement, it's like a fraternity of the bullshit. Where you sitting up here with agendas. And outlooks. A lot of people sign up, they cowards. A lot of people sign up because they don't like people of a certain color and a certain persuasion. Let me sign up for this so I can give them a hard time legally. So I can get some control over them. That's right up your goddamn alley. But at the essence of it, you soft. Big soft. You a big boy. You a big boy. You ain't no small dude in stature. What that little lady gonna do to you, bro? You thought she was gonna call you over to murder you up with the pistol? That's what you thought was happening? Like, yeah, man. She called us over here to murder us out with the pistol. I get it. You know, cops, you never can tell what people's intentions are, right? But this little lady that called y'all for help, called y'all. That's her plan. It's like, yeah, I'm going to lure the cops in and I'm going to murder them with the pistol and a pot of water. That's the plan. That's what you were scared of? You a big dude, bro, right? That's what you like. You like being big and swole in your little authority uniform, correct? Right? Soft, bro. Even if she wild out, man, just go over there and subdue. You got a taser, use the taser. Or you can subdue. Don't they teach y'all self-defense training? Can't you subdue people? You know what I'm saying? Oh, you got to go straight to the death, huh? You got to go straight to the murder. Okay. Straight to the murder. Sure. It's great training. You soft, bro. And everybody that think like you and act like you, man, y'all soft. Hiding behind the badge, hiding behind the gun, hiding behind the uniform. With your little ulterior motives of bullshittery, man. Talking about I fear for my life because she said I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You ain't been around religious people before? You ain't been around that energy? That's how they talk, man. They just be saying stuff on the religious tip. They throw Jesus up into the regular conversation. That don't mean they're going to kill you. You soft. And I know you ain't watching this. I know you ain't looking at this. I'm saying you soft like you can see me calling you soft. But you is. You're a murderer, bro. You murdered that woman in cold blood. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You sat up there and you panicked. And you murdered a woman with no remorse after the fact. Zero remorse. Calling her dumb and whatever else you want to call her. Zero remorse. You soft, bro. S-A-W-F-T. Soft. That's you all day, man. Charmin. Fresh pillows with a dingy case. Fuck your couch, dog. Called her a crazy bitch after the murder. After the murder. That tells you everything you need to know. After you take somebody's life. You are that cavalier, that nonchalant, that disrespectful after you take a person's life. I don't give a damn. Let's say, God forbid, I got to defend myself and I have to take somebody's life. I'm already knowing how I'm wired. That shit is going to haunt me in some form or fashion. I've never killed anybody before. It's not going to feel good, regardless if it was self-defense or not. I'm going to be like, I'm going to be shaken. Done. Even if they came at me with a knife, a gun, even if they broke in my crib, I'm going to be fucked up. I'm going to do what I got to do. If it's going to be me or you, I'm going to pick me. But I'm going to be fucked up after the fact. I'm going to be like, damn, man, I really took a life. I've never done that before, man. I gotta sit in that and soul search. I'm not gonna be just like, yeah, man, she was stupid. I'm gonna be looking out the window. I'm gonna be looking out the window, just like, whew, damn. Even if I was on the police force and I had to take lives, even if I'm in the military and I got to take lives, I'm a still just be like, damn, that's a lot. And I know, you know, when you do a certain job and that comes with the territory, but still, this is major territory here. I don't know, man, that dude, big trash, man. Big trash, big soft. All right, I'm about to cut off the IG live. Cutting it off. If y'all want to see the rest of this podcast live as it's going down, you know what to do. You can join my Patreon, man. You can click the link in my bio. Click that Patreon tab. Join up. It's a good time. You know what I'm saying? But if not, if you want to wait, that's fine too. But you're missing out. But I'll holler at you freeloaders later. Yeah, y'all. That's crazy to me that he was just like, yeah, I was scared for my life. Let's talk about the Olympics real quick. You know what I'm saying? Let's go back to the Olympics. Did I make my quota? I don't think I made my quota. People was being tight today. Let me see. Did I make my quota today? Nah, I didn't make the quota. Nah, no quota was met. But I did get some though, but not, I wanted the 15. I wanted that pure 15. You know what I'm saying? Because we out here, man. We out here waiting, man. We out here trying to earn, man. Speaking of earn, life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earning. Earning is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. All you got to do is download the Earning app and verify your paycheck, then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck, man. Let me tell you something, man. This would have been beautiful in my working prime, man. Because, you know, you never know what's going to come up in the in-between on them checks. You know what I'm saying? In the in-between, a lot can happen in the two-week in-between. A lot can happen. Especially if you just got paid on a Friday, you don't get paid again till the Friday after next. A lot can happen in that little window. You know, expenses just come out of nowhere. And you need that money ASAP. ASAP, Rocky, I need the money. I need the money. And Earning is right there. It could be a special night out. It could be a last minute gift for a loved one. It could be an unexpected trip to the vet, to the doctor, upcoming rent, new shoes, school clothes, shoes. Especially now, kids are going back to school. You never know what they're going to need. They give them a whole packet now. What these kids need to bring in. We want this, 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 and this, and this, and that. Bring that in first day of school. You might need the money for that, man. That's where Earning comes in, man. Earning. Make Earning a part of your financial routine and join Earning's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about earning, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. I don't know why I did that accent for that, but that's just one of the customers, man. One of the customers got an accent. Download the Earning app today, spell E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earning app, type in verbal cardio under podcast. All right? Don't forget to type in that verbal cardio. Let them know that you came from the verbal cardio, man. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. All right? Verbal cardio under podcast. Now, subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max, see earning.com/TOS for details. Earning is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. All right. So Earning, man, get in on that, man. Get your life together. Get your life together. Ooh, yeah. Was I about to say? Yeah. Oh, so check this out. So the Olympics, right? So I'm pretty sure if y'all been keeping up with the Olympics, you've been on Instagram, whatever. So this dude, one of the Olympic athletes, he was pole vaulting and his dilk hit the pole and it caused the beam to fall. His dilk, right? His dilk ruined his Olympic dreams of gold. Now, you know what I'm saying? he packing, so that's what caused him to fail in the pole vault. Now, a lot of people are looking at it a couple ways. Like, no, he's blessed on the back end because women are seeing this, and man, DM's gonna go crazy. I'm on the other side of it, though. I'm like, yo, man, his dilk really ruined his Olympic hopeful. His dream has been ruined by his dilk. Yeah, he packing. Yeah, it's gonna get female attention. First of all, I don't want to assume that he could be gay. I don't know. I don't know what he's into, but you know what I'm saying? He packing, clearly, because the package ruined his Olympic dreams. But the gold medal, man. Olympic gold medal can lead to so many different things besides coochie. You know what I'm saying? Endorsements, sponsorships, the glory. The pride of your homeland. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, having the big dick is cool, but the gold medal is a rarer thing. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of big dilks out here, man. What's another big dilk? It's dilks all over the place. It's not that many gold medals out here. And he's been working, he's been training, he's been putting the work in, man. Years in the making. And then his dilk was like, yeah, boom. He hit that bar. His dilk was petty. He's like, yeah, let the lady see this, man. You know how much vagina I can get with this? Like, nah, man, nah, I'm missing out. It's some good money attached to a gold medal. I mean, you could possibly get some money with the dilk, but I mean, how much can you really get though? And now we don't even know if he's gonna be traumatized about this. He might be traumatized about this going forward. Yeah, he might get the female attention, but he's like, man, I wanted that gold medal, man. He could easily thirst trap on Instagram in gray boxer briefs and thirst trap. He could do that. Anybody could do that. He can do that. He can build a following that way. But he wanted that gold medal. Because if he had the gold medal and the dilk, so the women could be getting smashed while he wearing the gold medal. And then you could be like, yo, I got dilked down by a gold medalist. You could have that. Because I know women, I know y'all be keeping notches in your little belt. Y'all be trying to act like you're holier than now, and you know what I'm saying? Y'all be having notches on your belt. If y'all smash a high-profile dude, y'all be like, yep, my resume popping. I got some hitters on my resume. Y'all be doing that. You might not say it out loud, but you're thinking it. You can be like, look, it was a gold medalist in this. But what if he was like, damn, man. So now a girl trying to get with him, he don't even want to pull it out because he is traumatized. We don't know what his life was like. What if his whole life, his dad was like, man, you ain't shit. You ain't never going to be nothing but dilk. Yeah, I know what you're working with. It's in the family, man. We all packing. The men in this family, we all got the dilks. But that's all we are, is dilk. You ain't going to be shit else. What if that was the last thing his dad said to him? Hey, man, let me tell you something. All you will ever be in life is dilk. You remember that. And he walked out. I don't know what country he was representing. I don't know what language. But That's what he walked in. He vowed in that moment. He was like, you know what, man? I'm going to prove him wrong. I'm more than just dilk. And then he do all that training. He going through all this Olympic training, the trials and the team and the nutrition and the dedication and the focus. Hours and hours put in. And then the moment has come, the glory. This is it. This is for all the marbles, man. I'm going to prove my dad wrong. And he running with the pole. And then his other pole is like, I'm about to fuck all this up. He got the Olympic pole, but his personal pole was like, yeah, the women is watching, though. Bow. And now he just like, man, this is all I am and this is all I ever will be is Dilk. So the woman she gonna be trying to stop. Let me get up in there. Like, nah, man, I ain't pulling it out. My dad was right. That's all I ever was Dilk. And I proved it right here when I hit the bar. Mind you, this is all in French. Qu'est-ce que tu fais? Quale est-il? Uns, deux, tres, quatorze, quinze, seize. Bibliothèque. Fromage. That's all. My dad was correct. That's all I am is Dilk. And I just don't want to use it again. I'm never using it again, man. It's ruined my life. We don't know what he's going through. But from the outside looking in, y'all just look like, hell yeah. Yeah, man, it's party time. It ain't party time for him, man. He wanted that Olympic glory. Y'all got to think about the bigger picture, man. Life is more than just sex out here, man. Life is more than sex. Les sexy. Life is more than that. You gotta have dreams and aspirations. You can get sex at any point in time, man. You can get fresh sex right now. You ain't got to wait 4 years for the sex like the Olympics. The Olympics, you gotta wait 4 years, man. You can get hot sex on the platter tonight. And you can get it again 2 months from now. You can double up. You can fumble and then re-up. The Olympics, man. So my heart goes out to him. Yeah, he probably getting attention in his DMs, man, but come on, man. The Olympics. Get your priorities together, y'all. Come on. Come on. I want to say this, y'all. In the Olympic vein, right? Noah Lyles. Who won in the photo finish and got the gold. Won in the photo finish. Got that gold. Was talking that shit. Got that gold. Right? And, you know, they was talking about his nails was painted or whatever. Let me ask y'all this, fellas. Anybody that got a problem with men painting their nails? Why do it matter? Why do it matter to you, man, sir? Why do you care if another man paints his nails? It's just nail paint. It's just decorative. You know what I'm saying? Why does that matter to you? Now, ladies, I can see if it matters to you because maybe, all right, so if a man wears, you know, fingernail polish or whatever, or he paints his nails and it turns you off for whatever reason, that's fine because you might have been interested in dating that man, right? And, you know, when we're trying to date somebody, every little turn off counts, right? Every little turn off just be like, you know what? Because we all have a checklist. When it comes to dating and attraction and, you know, considering somebody for a partner, we got a little checklist. We got to be like, I don't like this. I like this. I don't like that. I like this. I like this. I like this. I don't like that. I don't like that. And some of those things are petty and some of those things, you know, hold more merit. But we all have a checklist. And that might be one of yours. But if you take yourself out of the dating equation, If you have zero interest in dating a person, which I would assume, you know, men, if you're a straight man, you have no interest in dating this man. Why do you give a shit that his nails is painted? How does that affect your day to day? Why does it matter? Who gives a shit? My whole thing when it comes to men's nails is cut them shits. That's my thing. And that's only for selfish reasons, because I got to dap you up. Now, if you a handshaker, then I ain't got nothing to say about your long nails. But if we going to dap it up and we going to connect, if we going to clasp here, if we going to do this, the clasp, you got to warn me first. You got to warn me and be like, what's up, Tone? My nails is long. And we going to do the traditional businessman handshake. Or we can do the pound. But my whole thing is, don't scratch me, bro. I don't want to be scratched. I don't want to be scratched. Fingernails be dingy, man. Fingernails be dingy, especially long fingernails. Long fingernails be extra dingy. And you ladies too, man. Y'all out here with the dingy fingernails as well. The long fingernails got more access to the dinge. Because you're living life, you're going through life, you're touching, you're scratching, you're doing stuff with the nails. That's just a part of life. So with more nail real estate, it's going to attract more dinge, more bacteria, more dirt, more salt, more crust. And if we're going to be dapping it up, we're going to be in the clasp. I don't want to be scratched up. I don't want you to scratch me up with the dirty fingernails, man. It could be cocaine in the nails, heroin. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing with these nails. You could be a pimp. You just smack one of your hoes. Now you're scratching me with the hoe smack. Now I got hoe smack in my hand. Because your nails are long. You didn't warn me about the long nails on the clasp. We should have been handshaking it up, business deal. Stop worrying about what other men are doing as a man. As a man. As a fucking man. Stop worrying about what other men are doing. When it comes to their self-expression, their sense of style, and who they are. It ain't got nothing to do with you. I don't want to hear nothing about masculine. I don't want to hear none of that shit. He's still a man. Just because your nails is painting, don't deduct nothing from your manhood. Sick of y'all, man. Just let people be who they are. Let people be who they are and hush. It does not affect your day to day. Sick of y'all, man. You always worried about who gay in your day to day. Who gay in my day to day? That's how y'all living your lives. You're thinking about who's gay too much. And it makes me think, oh, you're gay. Because why are you thinking about it so much? Why you got an issue? Why are you looking for it? Why are you trying to get to the bottom of this? Why are you on edge? Why are you paranoid? That's a lot of mental real estate. You're stressed. Why? Suspect, man. Be who you are. Don't be mad because people are being them. Get in on that being them, man. If you really gay, man, get in on it, man. Live your life to the fullest, man. We got to be free. Life is short, man. Living your truth, bro. Don't be like that dad on American Beauty. Remember the dad on American Beauty? I was worried about his son being gay. That was on his neck the whole movie. Then turns out he tried to make a move on Kevin Spacey. Remember that? All that extra masculine bullshit he was trying to pump into his son. This nigga was gay. That's the energy when you put too much energy on it. I'd be like, American Beauty. That's what I'd be thinking. If you've never seen it, my bad, I probably spoiled it, but, you know. It just looks suspect to me. Suspect witness, don't come outside. You might get your shit pushed back tonight. Suspect witness, don't come outside. You might get your shit pushed back tonight. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all don't know nothing about that song right there. Y'all don't know nothing about that. suspect witness. They're going to be in the comment section. You know what? I don't care. But they're going to prove me right by pulling up in the comment section. Oh, you got my attention now, Tone. Every time. Then they're going to accuse me of Tony trying to get into Hollywood. Look at it. Look at him trying to get into Hollywood, man. You ain't got to do all this to get in. All right, whatever. Whatever's clever, y'all. Ladies, let me put my foot on y'all neck for a second. While y'all sitting here high-fiving and applauding me right now because I'm on the toxic men right now in the homophobia. Let me get on y'all necks for a second. All right? Why y'all be ignoring red flags, man? Why y'all be sitting up here ignoring red flags time and time again? Banking on, I can change him. I'm different. I can change it. Why y'all do this every time? You got all this women's intuition. You got all these suspicions that be right 80% of the time. You got all these examples, all these vibes, all these feelings that you bank on. But then when it comes to your dating life, here you go. Ignoring red flags, thinking you can get over the red flag, thinking you can change a person, and then boom. Now you're in too deep. Now you're getting drug alone. Now I'm not leaving y'all alone, man. Y'all got to stop ignoring the red flags. Y'all know those people that we call them petty, we call them cold-hearted. But once they see a red flag they don't like, they out. They might go about it wrong. They might ghost somebody, or they just might, you know what, this ain't it. They do that immediately because they set a firm boundary and they going to stick with it. One false red flag, they like, I respect that. Because they not out here, they not going to ignore the red flags and then let that shit compound until later on. Or they not going to be like, I'm not going to go in trying to change somebody. You got to respect that. But y'all out here ignoring the flag. You see the flags. I see it all the time. I be talking to women. I just be, you know, talking and listening. And they be like, you know, I'm looking for this in the relationship. I'm looking for this. I'm looking for that. They get with a dude that ain't looking for that. That ain't looking for this. Shit ain't matching up. But they still just hanging in there. The guy is clearly letting you know he's not about what you want. And now you just out here settling. What y'all doing this for? Why you ignoring them flags is just flapping. Y'all like, you know, I can change him. He gonna change. He gonna come around. Why y'all keep doing this time and time again? You see them flags? Flags is robust. And I get it. People be lying in the beginning of the dating phase. People be lying. They give you the representation. They trying to look good and perfect and all that good stuff. Men and women do this. They come in, they lying, they capping, or they're concealing, or, you know, deception, whatever. They just coming in trying to look like their perfect selves. They're trying to make it look like they ain't never dated nobody in close proximity to you when they talking to you. They always coming in with the, I ain't been with a person in like, since my last boyfriend, or like, you know what I'm saying? They always make it look like they've been some kind of sexual monk for mad long. Knowing they was probably fresh off some dick. A lot of people are not honest in the very beginning. They're not fully transparent. It's not that they might lie, but it's just, they're not showing everything. They're not putting it all out there in the early stages. They just showing you the good parts of the trailer. They're showing you the good parts of the movie. They're giving you a trailer. And then they start giving you clips. As the more y'all talk, here's a clip here. Here's a clip. They're not giving you that full movie. Me, now, I'm trying to give you the full movie in the very beginning. This is the type of time I'm on. This is where I'm at. This is what I be doing. This is what I did. This is how it's going down. I want you to know early. I want you to know what's going on in the very beginning. In the opening credits, I want you to know what's going on with me and how I'm looking at stuff and how I'm feeling, all that good stuff. I don't want you to get laid on down the line and get caught in too deep. And even when I do that, even when I do, I'm like, I'm on this, this, and this. They be like, okay. When I tell them I'm on this, this, and this, I guarantee you there was a red flag in there for her. She's like, oh, Tony on that, and that. I'm on something different. Well, I presented you where I'm at. You chose to be like, I'm going to go further. And then it blows up in your face. Because you ignored the red flag. You thought, I can work through this red flag. I can change the color of the flag. And then you find out you couldn't. That's what I'm talking about. But also, too, like some people can, you know, they get all the info that they need and it's not a deal breaker for them. It's like, all right, you told me that in the beginning. I chose to go forward anyway. I can't be mad at you. I got to hold myself accountable. But accountability is, you know, accountability is a thing not everybody has. You know, accountability is just. Not everybody on that type of time. That accountability time, not everybody on that. And then, you know, you want to point the finger, even though they told you in the very beginning. But no, but it just felt like, but what did I tell you in the very beginning? But no, but I figured, what did I tell you in the beginning? Well, no, you made it seem like, but what did I tell you in the beginning? Ladies, man. I need y'all to step it up. If it's a red flag, address that red flag. Be like, yo, that's a red flag for me. I'm like, all right, hey, I can respect it. We can go our separate ways. If you want to continue down this path with the red flags, then you got to be 100% accountable for whatever happens in conjunction with that red flag. Sick of it, man. And you ain't changing nobody. So don't think you're doing it. Don't think you can. If they do change, it has to be a person's change has to be from within. Yeah, you can guide it. You can kind of have some influence on the change. But real change has to be from within. Has to be. And if a person is not willing to change from within, if they haven't reached that point yet, you can't force the change. I know. I know you think you can. I'm special. We all special. We're all special up here. I know I'm special. I'm the one that can humble yourself. Humble yourself and just observe. Observe, watch, listen. That's what you got to do out here. Observe, watch, listen, people going to say whatever they going to say. Talk is cheap. I know it's cliche. I know it's oversaid. Talk is cheap. It's on the 99-cent menu. You talk is $2 for $1. You got to look at that action. You got to look at them patterns. That's what you got to look at. People going to say whatever. They're going to say whatever you want to hear. People going to say that. But you got to look at that action, man. Actions and patterns are everything. That's everything. So keep that in mind out here, man. Sick of y'all, man. Keep that in mind. Because ladies, man, I'm already knowing y'all super intelligent. You do have intuition. But I feel like y'all are just bypassing it, trying to be hopeful, trying to just, you know, you see what's going on. You feel it. Come on now. Come on now. Anyway, I just wanted to dig in y'all booty cheeks real quick on that, man, because I'm sick of y'all. Y'all keep doing this. Y'all know it's a red flag for me. The people that cuss in front of their parents. Not feeling that. That's a turnoff for you, boy. I'm not feeling it. I know you grown. I know you grown. You're paying your own bills. You know what I'm saying? Your titties done got big. You got a big dick. Your balls is hanging low. I get it. You're paying your own bills. You got kids of your own. Ain't nobody going to tell you what to do. So you cuss in front of your parents. I don't like it. I'm not with it. Because I feel like, and I know everybody has a different relationship with their parents, right? So I'm not going to sit up here and be like, man, you always got to respect your parents because some parents is bullshit. But if you had good quality, robust parents, I feel like parents should be held in a special place your entire life. As long as they're alive, I feel like parents should be in a box that other people aren't in. There's an exclusive box. You only get two. You only get two parents. Then you get the steps and all that, you know what I'm saying? But this is it. You're going to run through friends and cousins and, you know, siblings and other family members, acquaintances and exes and currents. But I feel like your parents should be held in a special place in how you treat them and how you talk to them. Especially when you had good, robust parents. Regardless if they cuss or not. You know what I mean? And I just feel like when you just cussing up a storm in front of your parents, I'll be like, I ain't feeling this. Like, take me for example. I don't like cussing in front of my mom. Now, she's heard me cuss. Like, she supports everything I do. She watches Verbal Cardio. She's on my stream. She watches my stand-up. And I'll be cussing. But when I know that she's watching the stream, let's say the stream, because that's what we do the most cussing on, you know, when we playing Call of Duty and stuff. When I know she's in there, I notice myself that I don't cuss as much, if at all. If I remember that my mom is watching right here, right now, I immediately edit in my mind. I'm like, oh, you know what I'm saying? And that's just me growing up. You know, I was raised by this woman. That's my mom. So it's like, and I know she's not a fan of cussing. So it's like, I'm shutting it off. Like, that's not how I talk to my mom. And that's never going to change because, you know, that's my mom. Regardless, yes, I have grown kids. Yes, I'm grown. I pay my own bills. But I'm still not comfortable just being like, yeah, mom. Beep, 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 beep. I'm just not. So, you know, when I see just mad cussing in front of the parents, I'll be like, I mean, it's not an absolute deal breaker, but it's definitely a turnoff. I was like, man, you just cussing up a storm in front of your. That's wild business. That's wild business. This is what I have listed here. So I don't know why I wrote this down for Verbal Cardio, but I saw a pigeon-toed dude on the treadmill. He's mad pigeon-toed. And I was like, man, that's risky business when you mad pigeon-toed on the treadmill. Because the treadmill is like, the treadmill, you have to walk at a certain pace and keep your feet at a certain distance so you don't fall all over the place with the treadmill. So you got to be on point. So to not look at your feet and be walking mad pigeon-toed on the treadmill, I feel like that's prime real estate for the trip up. He was mad pigeon-toed because I was on the elliptical behind him. And I looked down. And I was like, yo, he mad pigeon-toed. And I was like, man, that's a dangerous game. Because one false move on that treadmill, you're out of here, man. You're stumbling and fumbling. And if you do the complete fall, then you're going to get that extra slide in. Because once you fall on the treadmill is going to be like, man, get the fuck off me. Soon as you fall, that treadmill going to give you the extra shove. Man, get your fuck off me, man. Don't you ever fall on me, man. The treadmill don't want to be touched. It's in constant push. Get off me, man. So as soon as you fall because you was mad pigeon-toed and hit that treadmill going to be like, man, get the fuck off me. How dare you? You take that to the elliptical. It's the treadmill. It's the tread. It's the meal. So I was looking at that like, wow, that's crazy. On August 3rd is the anniversary of Serene's passing. You know, they lost their lives late August 3rd. It was almost August 4th. And so August 3rd always like, you know, and I was telling Cherie and I was telling Sincere, I was like, I texted him like the day before. I was like, yo, this day is not Serene's. Serene's day is January 3rd. That's his birthday. That's his day. That's his day, not August 3rd. August 3rd is a random day. That's not his day. So his birthday always hits us harder than the death day. But for some reason, like this particular August 3rd, it was tough on me. It was a rough day. Like I was in the bed. It was heavier than I anticipated for sure. I knew it was going to be something, but I was going through it in the early part of the day. You know, crying, folding up, you know what I'm saying? People was reaching out, so I was just refolding and folding again. And so it was tough. And then, but I was like, but this is not his day, though. And then I went and did some volunteer work in Watts that day. But then Sincere called me, and we talked on the phone for a long time. And it just felt great. It was like, I'll tell you how long we was on the phone. Because first of all, you know what I'm saying? I answered the call. That's first and foremost. We was on the phone for an hour and 46 minutes. We was on the phone for a full movie in time. And it was great. It was just like good conversation. We were just talking about whatever. And he called me and I answered right away. And I was just like, it was a great convo. And it just put me in a great space. Like when we had that conversation. So, and you know, he's feeling it too. So I'm sure he was like, man, let me call Pops. He probably called his mom too. But yeah, I was on that phone having a good time. But the reason I brought this up is because we were just talking about life and like, you know what I'm saying? Getting older and, you know, where he is in his life and stuff like that. And so I was just like, you know, just talking to him about, you know, being proud of him and telling him that, you know, you're further along than I was at your age. You're much further than I was. I mean, granted, you know, when I was 23, I was already a father and you were on the way. When I was 23, you know, the bun was already in the oven. So I was about to be a father too at his age. And I was just like, yeah, you're further along. You're a college graduate, you know. And I know you're still trying to figure it out. You're still trying to, you know what I'm saying, see where your true passions lie and all that good stuff. I'm like, but you're further than me. You don't have kids, but, you know, just because I had kids doesn't mean I had everything figured out. I just knew that, you know, we had children. But as far as, like, my direction and where I wanted to go and how I was going to go about doing that, I was all over the place at that age. And so I was just telling him, like, yo, you're further along than me, because I know, you know, as kids, you know, when we growing up, we young, we feel like when you're 23, 24, you feel like, man, time is running out, man. I got to figure my life out. Some people don't figure their lives out until they're in their 40s and 50s. So I told him, you graduated from college, man. on an academic scholarship. You passed me, man. You passed me. I was like, I didn't figure it out until I was a good 31. I was like, oh, I had already, you know, wanted to do acting, but, you know, it took me so long and I was just like flip-flopping so much that I didn't have that true direction. And it wasn't until I started doing stand-up at the age of 31 where I truly felt like, now I got the direction. Here we go. 31. Father raising the kids. So it just got me to thinking, man, breathe life into your children. Give them your life perspective, but also breathe life into your children. We as parents, we have so much power into the influence and the hearts and minds of our children. So when I say breathe life into your children, I mean, don't breathe a lot of insecurity into them, a lot of fear, a lot of projection. That can happen as parents as well. We can make our kids paranoid. We can make them scarier than they were. We can pump in so much bullshit that we carry into our children that it affects them in the long term. But instead, breathe life into your children. Let them know that, you know, you're on the right track. You're doing this well. You can accomplish this. This is a great direction. I see what you're doing. I never thought about that. I've never tried that. Give them props for trying things, stepping out on faith, stepping out on fearlessness. I tell Cecile all the time, I was like, yo, man, you really was like, yo, I'm going to live in one of the most expensive cities in America. I'm going to go out on my own and give it a try. That's fearlessness right there. So it's just like, yo, that's dope that you did that. To have the guts to not only complete your task of college, but then be willing to be like, I'm going to stay here in the city. He can easily fall on us as a safety blanket, but he's like, nah, I'm going to give this a real shot. And I'm just like, man, you doing the right things. We just got to be careful as parents not to breathe into our children the insecurities that you carry. You pump that into your own children, or the fears that you carry, you pump that into your children. You project all this stuff and you pump that. And you got to be careful with that. You know, so that's what it's about, you know, as a parent, because you feel like if you give your kids too much freedom of thought and freedom of choice and, you know, watching them take their own directions, you feel like, oh, I'm too hands off. Let me come in with some guidance. And then we can kind of force the guidance to where we're making our kids do what we wanted to do, or do what we should have did, or do what, you know, our dream was, rather than letting them figure it out on their own. And so I always like to just be, especially when kids get older, you know what I mean? Like, you got to let them figure things out on their own. You still watching, you still right there. You like this. But you still giving them that freedom to roam around the yard of life. I mean, you know what I'm saying? All right. Let them roam around the yard. Let them go down the block. Let them turn the corner. Let your kids turn the corner without you being there and be like, whoa, here they go, man. I hope they come back. You know, you got to let them do that. And then, you know, kids are always going to come back with the, you know, they're going to come back for insight, tips, you know. They're going to come back for the guidance and the questions like that, but you can't force everything. You can't control everything, but what you can control is what you pumping into them kids, what you breathing into them. And I say breathe that life in there. Let them know that they can do things and try things and give it a shot, give it a whirl, and let them know that you support, you know, the paths that they have chosen, you know, outside of just pure bullshittery. I'm not talking about, you know, hard drug use and gang banging and, you know, just pure filth. I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying? That regular life stuff, you know? Let your kids be individuals, but also a part of you. That those things can coexist. And I always try to make sure that I worked in that vein as a parent. And you know, I didn't get it right all the time, but when I was young, I caught myself. I always equated it with the sports thing, because that was the main thing I was on them about, projecting my own sport fanhood into them. And I know that could seem petty because it's just sports, Tone. But that was me catching myself on, let me chill out, man. Let me let them pick their own team, their own favorite player, their own this and that. I had to learn that. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm sorry. And so I apologize, you know, for that. But that valuable moment, even though it was just sports, that bled into all aspects of their lives and our relationship as father and sons. And like, you know, just letting them know that I see y'all, I respect what you're doing, I respect your individuality and all that good stuff. And that's part, and a part of that too is that's why I didn't want to name them after me. I didn't want juniors. You know, I could have easily been like Anthony Jr., Anthony the Third, but I wanted them to have their own name, their own vibe, their own person. You know what I mean? Serene, sincere, boom. I threw family names up in the mix in the middle, but that first name you see, that's them, man. That's their thing. And so I always moved in that regard. You know, it was Serene Anthony Raekwon Baker and Sincere Alexander Baker. Alexander is my brother's middle name. So you got the family dynamics within, but, you know, I wanted them to be their own men. And Serene was definitely headed in that direction. He was trying to figure everything out and trying to figure out his path. And, you know, he was always sharing that with me. And I was just listening. I was like, okay. All right, yeah, why don't you try this, that, and the third? Whatever he needed from me, I supported. Same with Sincere, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll support everything he does. You know, if you need me to post a clip of your documentary, say less. I'm going to post it anyway because I'm proud of you. But if you need me to do anything, let me know. You know, I got money on the tuition, whatever the case may be. All film festival, man, we pulling up. Whatever's needed, support your kids. And so, so breathe life into them kids, man. To all my parents out here, breathe life into them kids. Let them know. Don't be breathing them insecurities in there, them fears and all that other horseshit projection. Don't do that. Breathe that life up in there, man. It's going to be so beneficial for them in the long run. Speaking of a parent, and, you know, I became a parent in the year 2000. The year 2000 is when I hit them parental streets. That's when I was like, yeah, man, parenthood. Am I right, guys? We out here. So it got me thinking of the year 2000. Where was you at in the year 2000, man? Where was you at in the year 2000? What was you doing? What was you up to in the year 2000? We all different ages in here. Where was you at? What was you wearing? What was you rocking? What was your favorite meal in 2000? Remember the fear that they was pumping in? They was like, man, oh man, everything's going to collapse. New Year's Eve. I remember Serene was born January 3rd, 2000. We wanted him to be the first baby of 2000. But nah, you know, Cherie didn't deliver until January 3rd. But we was hoping for that. We was like, yo, the Y2K baby, because they was offering cash money. They was offering that cash money. So we was like, yo, man, push Sincere out as soon as that clock strike. But you know, we didn't make the quota. We became parents in the year 2000. So I'll always remember that year in 2001 when Sincere was born. It was also 9/11 that year. But 2000, man, what was y'all up to, man? What was cracking? My money was funny then. You know, my money was tight. Money was tight. I got arrested in the year 2000. I got arrested because I was in a stolen car in the year 2000. I didn't know I was in the stolen car, but nonetheless, had them cuffs on. was at the police station. I'm down at the police station, man. Year 2000 was an interesting year for your boy. Let's talk about some of the TV shows that debuted in the year 2000. The year 2000 gave us Gilmore Girls, Curb Your Enthusiasm, CSI, Malcolm in the Middle, Big Brother, Survivor, Dark Angel, My Wife and Kids, Andromeda. I don't know if y'all remember that. What else came out in 2000? Queer as Folk, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Doctors, that show, X-Men Evolution, Yu-Gi-Oh, Girlfriends, Yes Dear, Even Stevens. Y'all remember Even Stevens? The show Ed, Jackass, Dora the Explorer, Boston Public, Mr. Titus, and Static Shock. It was going down in the year 2000. R&B albums that came out in the year 2000. R&B albums. Erykah Badu's Mama's Gun album. The Voodoo album by D'Angelo. Jill Scott's Who Is Jill Scott's Words and Sounds Volume 1. Music Soul Child, I Just Want to Sing. R. Kelly, TP2.com. Joe, My Name is Joe. Sade, Lovers Rock. Craig David, Born to Do It. Tony Braxton, The Heat. Lucy Pearl. Nathan Michael, Sean and Wanye, Boys to Men. Pink, Can't Take Me Home. This is when she was still in the R&B. Maya, Fear Flying. Amel LaRue, Infinite Possibilities. Dave Hollister, Chicago 85, The Movie. 3LW, put out the self-titled album. Avant, My Thoughts. The Temptations put out an album. Casey and JoJo put out the X album. The Romeo Must Die soundtrack was out. So, yeah, so that was some of the R&B albums that was out that time. Let's talk about the rap albums that came out in the year 2000. Supreme Clientele by Ghostface Killah. Stank On Ya by Outkast. The Marshall Mathers LP by Eminem. Like Water for Chocolate by Common. Slum Village, Fantastic Volume 2. The W by Wu-Tang Clan. Train of Thought by Reflection Eternal. Madlib put out The Unseen. Jay-Z put out The Dynasty. Rock La Familia. Dead Prez came out with Let's Get Free. Quality Control by Jurassic 5. The Truth by Beanie Siegel. Deltron 3030. The Warriors album by M.O.P. Art Official Intelligence Mosaic Thump by De La Soul. H.N.I.C. by Prodigy. Zion I, Mind Over Matter. Country Grammar by Nelly. Balance and Options by DJ Quick. Yeah, Baby by Big Pun. Mystical, Let's Get Ready. Dirty Harriet by Rod Digger. Restless by Exhibit. Anarchy by Busta Rhymes. Last of a Dying Breed by Scarface. The GOAT by LL Cool J. Back for the First Time by Ludacris. Life Story by Black Rob. It was going down, man. It was going down. But let's look at the movies, man. Let's look at the top grossing movies of the year 2000. The top grossing movies. These are the highest grosses worldwide. Number 10, What Lies Beneath. Number 9, X-Men. Number 8, The Perfect Storm. Number 7, Meet the Parents. Number 6, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Number 5, Dinosaur. Number 4, What Women Want. Number 3, Castaway. Number 2, Gladiator. Number 1, Mission Impossible 2. Yeah, man. 2000. It was going, man, there's a lot of good entertainment in 2000, man. That's a lot of good entertainment. It was cracking in 2000, man. Those albums that came out, I still listen to Like Water for Chocolate and I Just Want to Sing and Mama's Gun and Stankonia and Supreme Clientele and like, you know, these movies right here and like, and I ain't even touch on the rest of the films that came out in the year 2000. And what made me pick the year 2000 initially, I was going to do it last Verbal Cardio, is because of X-Men and Wolverine. I mean, Deadpool and Wolverine, because Wolverine, you know, that was the debut of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. What video games were out then? All right, let's look. Let's look. Video games from the year 2000. Okay, the year 2000. Perfect Dark, Diablo 2, Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask, The Sims, Deus Ex, Baldur's Gate, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, Final Fantasy 9, Resident Evil Code Veronica, WWF No Mercy, Vagrant Story, Driver 2, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, New Age of Heroes, Counter-Strike, WWF SmackDown, Thief 2, Hitman, Codename 47, The World Is Not Enough, 102 Dalmatians game, X-Men Mutant Academy, Alien Resurrection, NFL 2K1, The Bouncer, there was a Blade game, Time Splitters, 007 Racing, Mickey's Speedway, Evil Dead, Hail to the King, Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, Tomb Raider, Chronicles. Those are some of the video games of 2000. It's a glorious time, man. Glorious time. Some of the other top-rated games from that year, Pokemon Stadium, Phantasy Star Online, Metal Gear Solid, Metropolis Street Racer, Pokemon Yellow, Medieval 2. Yeah, man. Glorious times. I hope I took y'all back, man. Who was y'all dating then, if anybody? Yeah, 2000 was a glorious time. It's a good year. Amir, how old was you in 2000? You was five. Amir was 5 years old in the year 2000.
I was listening to Bow Wow's debut album.
Beware of Dog.
Yes. I had the CD, had the poster, went to the tour, yeah.
Bow Wow was that dude.
I was just looking it up. I didn't know that his second album, it debuted at number 11, but it sold 319,000 copies in the first week.
So you mean to tell me it was 10 other albums that sold more than that?
In December, yes.
In
December
of
2001.
That's why. December, when it's around Christmas time, album sales go crazy.
That's insane. So, it's still crazy, but that number today would instantly be number one.
Number one with a bullet. Tough. But around the holidays, those album sales was crazy. What used to happen was it would be a surge in like albums being bought. But then the week after Christmas, hip hop albums would surge.
Oh, because it's probably Christmas gifts.
So the Christmas gifts, so, you know, they're giving the gifts, but then the kids is like, yeah, we want that hip-hop. So hip-hop albums would surge the week after Christmas. But before that, everything else, the numbers would be crazy.
That's still crazy.
That's crazy. He was number 11 with 300-something thousand first week. Crazy. A man was five, y'all. I was a grown man with kids. I was a father.
I still remember, though.
And Amir was five. Let that perspective sit in your soul, man. Listen, I want to thank y'all for pulling up to another episode of Verbal Cardio. Shout out to Good Moms Gone Wild, man. Good Moms, Bad Decisions, man. It's a great podcast. I was on one of their episodes. So definitely pull up on them. They're dope, funny, dope, insightful. All the things. I love how they flow. I want to thank the patron saints, aka my other producers. I appreciate y'all. Thanks for pulling up. on this glorious Tuesday. I'm glad y'all are here. I'm glad y'all exist. I care about your lives. Y'all are wonderful human beings, and thank you. I'll let y'all know if it's a movie night tonight, which it should be. It should be, because we haven't done one in a while. But yeah, y'all, I appreciate y'all. And thank you for tuning in to another session of that Verbal Cardio.